Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller's out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. We're at the Superstore tonight where the June Jamboree sales event continues. Glad to have you on board. Jam-packed showroom tonight. A lot of great deals going on. We'll talk about those as the night progresses here, another summer night in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. As always, a visit to MonroeSuperstore.com. Well, you know, we speak of temperatures, and summer kind of officially came to an end last night. The NHL season is over with the Pittsburgh Penguins winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. And last night, Golden State, they wrap up the National Basketball Association Championship. So your fall, wintertime sports are in the books. Baseball now on the front page, and into football, of course, into early fall, to get things going of the big four sports anyways. NHL, NBA done. Last night, but I got to tell you, Golden State, again, it just proves they had way too much. What's Cleveland do from here? Who knows? I mean, Golden State, by far the better team. More depth, better players. Cleveland, great players in LeBron and Kyrie and everybody else, but they cannot stay with Golden State. I kind of thought they would for a while last night. Things looked a little tenuous for Golden State. And can you imagine, again, we talked about it yesterday, if Cleveland would have pulled one off and they come back for a game six. But too much. Golden State, just too much for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the one thing we've been talking about all week, in my opinion, not good for the NBA regular season. Teams are going to watch Golden State. They're going to watch Cleveland on television. The Christmas games will get great ratings as well. And I got to tell you, I think on a night-to-night basis, a Tuesday night, Memphis taking on Houston in the NBA really has very, very little of any appeal for me. So the super team era is upon us, and it could be like this for some time. Let's hear from Kevin Durant last night after Golden State's 129-120 win.
I couldn't sleep for 2 days. I was anxious. I was jittery. I just wanted to lay it all out there. We were really good tonight. You got to tip your hat to Cleveland, man. They kept us up all night, man. Those LeBron and Kyrie, I never seen nothing like them two before. But we prevailed. We're champions. It was amazing doing it on our home floor.
Well, he was exactly right, echoing what I just said, LeBron and Kyrie. I mean, what a duo. Cleveland won it last year, and as I think Jim Cushman alluded to not too long ago, Golden State had to counter, and they did. Not good for the NBA because they are heads shoulders ahead of most teams in the National Basketball Association. Now, hats off to LeBron, outstanding, averaged triple-doubles in the playoffs. Unbelievable. Here's LeBron.
But as far as that team, they're going to be here for a while. They're going to be around for a while. Pretty much all their guys are in their 20s. They don't show any signs of slowing down. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that's trying to figure out ways to put personnel together to try and match that if they're able to actually face them in a playoff series, both Eastern Conference and Western Conference, because they're built, you know, from my eyes, they're built to last, a few years.
No doubt about that. You know, we talked to Rod Beard earlier in the week, NBA writer, covers the Pistons and the National Basketball Association, and Rod basically said, too, and I brought up the question, what do you do? This could be a long run. I mean, do you go into this draft coming up quickly that we'll have here, of course, on the ticket? Do you start looking for defensive specialists? I don't know how you would stop these teams anyway. So, I mean, that might be a pipe dream as well. But you're not going to catch them for personnel. You're not going to catch them for roster depth. What do you do to counteract this? Play to go as far in the playoffs as you can, and before you hit a Cleveland or a Golden State, that is the way it kind of looks. But again, wrapping up last night to Golden State 129-120 over a very game Cleveland Cavaliers team for a while anyways in that basketball game. But again, Golden State just too much. Tigers tonight start a short two-game homestand against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I always go back to the Vegas odds at the beginning of the year. They just have such a great insight of what they think teams are going to do. You know, they got to be experts at it or they're going to lose money. But they had the Arizona Diamondbacks as a team that would be under 500 this year. Right now they are 39-26, and they're only a game and a half behind. Well, another surprise team. They did go out and spend some money, Colorado. So Arizona comes into Detroit tonight, a very formidable foe, and they got to face Greinke tonight, the Tigers do, against Buck Farmer, who's had a pretty good run for the Detroit Tigers. Tigers, of course, will go with their left-handed lineup tonight. Avila batting second, catching. Vemart will bat from the left side, batting fourth. And Presley's in center. He will bat eighth. So the Tigers tonight taking on Arizona. Nick Pecora will join us from Comerica Park in Detroit at about 5:35 tonight to go down this two-game series against Arizona. All told, the Detroit Tigers are home for six consecutive games. You do the math, you look at it this way, even a 4-2 record for Detroit would get them back to 34-34 on the year. In a Central Division race, believe me, that is up for grabs. So we're talking Tiger baseball tonight at 5:35 with Nick Pecora. Joining us at 5:15 tonight will be Nick Petrovich. We'll talk about the new head coach at Ohio State. That's Chris Holtman coming over from Butler. Not only him, his whole staff is coming to Columbus. So Butler, they've already hired his replacement. But, you know, that happens so much. A guy gets a job and part of the first thing out of his mouth is, okay, we agree on the money. What about bringing my staff? Well, if they're going to seal the deal, the athletic director, in this case Gene Smith, had to say yes. Watch some highlights tonight from the U.S. Open, the practice rounds, and the interviews today on the Golf Channel. That's coming up this week from Erin Hills, Wisconsin. Boy, you look at the history of this place. Unbelievable, the story. The guy that started it, he ended up being indicted for murder of his wife, and somebody else took over and put millions and millions and millions of dollars in the course and in the facility, went broke, kept borrowing money. Finally, a guy came in and, you know, bailed him out. So a very interesting history on Erin Hills, first U.S. Open ever to be held in Wisconsin. That will start on Thursday, by the way, as well. The baseball draft, always an interesting thing. I mean, listen, in hockey, you see it with Connor McDavid going to Edmonton. You see it in the National Football League. But the Tigers drafted number 18. They got a pitcher out of Florida. Who knows how long it'll be before he makes the Detroit Tigers. That's the thing with the baseball draft. Some of these kids just look so young. You know they're 2 or 3 years away from making it to the major leagues. So you got to watch that with a grain of salt. Listen, all the sports teams now make a big deal out of the draft. It's a big television production, nothing like the NFL, of course, because those players, a lot of them, are going directly to the NFL and making lineups. But it's Alex Fiedo, 18th round for the Tigers. By the way, I'd caught him the other night when I was doing a little channel surfing in the College World Series. Very 6'6", but he's got a very, very weird delivery. His mechanics are strange, which a lot of times that will throw the hitters off as well. Another note I saw today, Michael Vick, he's going to retire as a Falcon. I apologize. I can't get it out of my head. Every time I see his face or see a photograph of him, I think of him and the way he treated animals, and anybody that's ever listened to this show knows how I feel about that. I mean, I still just, not going down that road, but I have to tell you, every time I see his photograph, the first thing I do is think about what went on in his house, and unbelievable. So this guy gets no pass from me, but he did announce, of course, that he's retiring a Falcon. Coming up, Chris Petrovich of the Toledo Blade. He covers the Ohio State Buckeyes. Back with more after this. Basketball, a new coach at Ohio State after this.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. As always, this show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. June Jamboree sales event continues. Come on up and see us. A lot of great deals, jam-packed showroom as we speak right now on this summer evening. Going to talk a little baseball at 5:35 tonight. Nick Pecoro joins us from Comerica Park in Detroit. He's the beat writer for the Diamondbacks, the Arizona Republic. We'll set up this short two-game series. A night of Knicks is Nick Petrovich joins us now, Toledo Blade writer. He is the Ohio State Buckeye beat writer. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing well. How are you?
Boy, reading a little bit about the new coach today, and I know you wrote about him, Chris Holtman. What a meteor rise this has been for this guy. He was an assistant coach just 3 years ago and came out of a college. It sounded almost like a paint store, a Gardner Webb or whatever it was, and all of a sudden he finds himself at $24 million over 8 years coaching the Ohio State Buckeyes. And by all reports, now listen, I know there was a couple of other guys they were considering there, but at this kind of late date anyways, most people saying a home run. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, their alleged wish list included everyone just barely on this side of Santa Claus. But in terms of practicality, I thought Holtman was about as well as you can do, considering they didn't go after, or at least didn't land the Billy Donovans of the world. Holtman's a practical hire who's done well recruiting and knows it well. It wasn't so long ago that he was, you know, he was an assistant at Ohio University. He was a MAC assistant as recently as 7 years ago. We moved on to Gardner Webb, was an assistant at Butler, and, you know, in less than a decade is now the head guy at one of the more sought-after programs in the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, let me ask you your opinion on this. I mean, recruiting, X's and O's, game preparation. Where do you put recruiting, Nick Petrovich, in that? I mean, listen, you got to have the players. Most good coaches will tell you, you better have the horses, you're not going to win. Where would you put his strength in those three categories? Preparation, game management, recruiting. I'll tell you, let's do it this way. On a scale of 1 to 10, why don't you go over those three categories and tell me what you got?
Well, I think recruiting is the most important one out of all this. I thought it was the most important thing out of this entire hire. And, I mean, he beat Ohio State for a kid this year. Kyle Young is one of the best kids in the country. Or he's one of the best kids in Ohio. Played on Massillon Jackson, the state champion, the 6'8 wing, and came in here and got him, signed him away when he was with Butler from Ohio State, which should tell you something. He's a really good recruiter, and I think that was what was really important. And if you're looking at the Ohio State job in terms of what it offers and what you think they should be doing, there are people that will tell you that they should be doing a better job in the state of Ohio. And in the past 3 years, they've gotten exactly one top three kid in the state of Ohio. West Virginia has gotten two. So they haven't really done a spectacular job of protecting inside of their own state. Holtman, I think, will be a little bit different. I think he's going to be going after Ohio kids, and he made it pretty clear at his press conference that that was one of the things that he wanted to do. As a game manager, I think he's very good as well. Butler's team, I think, was better than the sum of its parts this year. No one was really expecting much for them, and I think they were way better than almost everyone thought. So those are two very important facets of this job. And with the kids that he had at Butler, I think one of the things you can consistently say is they got better, and that's going to be important.
National Coach of the Year, Sweet 16. Again, we're talking to Nick Petrovich. Hey, you mentioned Ohio basketball. Give me a little bit of your taste and your feel of where it's at now. Listen, you can't break this down in some scientific type poll, but say over the last 5, 6, 7 years with the other regions in the United States, where does Ohio State today fit in as potential big-time college basketball players and the kids coming out of here?
They're in a very strange position, because they have at times been a national program that has gotten kids from all over. And then there have been other times when they've won with kids with Ohio, that are in Ohio. And you look at the past few years, particularly with Luke Kennard and Carlton Bragg, those kids were from Ohio, and Ohio State, I thought, kind of got unfairly bashed for them because those two guys could have gone wherever they wanted, and they picked Duke and Kansas, respectively. But Ohio State has also, in the past, gotten some of those kids. So it's a really interesting dichotomy, and what you decide that you want from there is really up to the coach, because you can do this. If you get a couple good kids out of Ohio every year, you're going to be competing in the Big Ten. Ohio's a pretty good basketball state. It's not the best, but it's pretty good. But they have also, in the past, gone out and gotten kids from other states.
Nick, tell me a little bit about it. I mean to interrupt you there. We had a little bit of a delay up here at the Superstore. How many years away with their current roster right now do you think they are from respectability and back in the hunt for a Big Ten championship? I mean, listen, I know that there's a big gray area involved in this, who they're going to get, how much better the guys they already have. I know some guys have left the program. Give me a little timetable. He got 8 years, and I got a kick on one of the quotes I read today. Gene Smith said that was to please the new coach's wife, Lori, Chris Holtman. 8 years for this guy. When do you think you'd start seeing some residue of his efforts?
I think the big year for him is going to be the 2018-19 season. They're going to be bad this next year. I don't think there's any way around that. Even if they somehow find, you know, a couple junior college guys and meet up this class a little bit. But the 2018 one in Ohio is very, very good. And the top three kids are currently uncommitted. If Holtman gets out there here in January and throughout this year and maybe lands one or two or potentially all three of them, they're going to be very good talent-wise as soon as next year. But it's going to be fluid. It's going to take a while. If they maybe just get even a single of those kids, they're in much better shape. So there is definitely the possibility to really be much, much better for 2018-19. And that's the problem they have just right now. They're just not that talented. Last year they really struggled shooting the ball. They didn't really have any playmakers in the backcourt. It was a really tough way. The way they had to win was really ugly, and they just didn't have the talent. It was pretty obvious. If he can get some talent here out of this next class, the 2018 class, and there's a lot of it, especially around here, they can get back in the top half of the Big Ten, I think, in a couple of years.
Nick Petrovich joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. By the way, my favorite to the Tony Pacos Pizza was the 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. Again, Nick Petrovich joins us here on the Drive Time. Hey, before we let you go, not to change directions here too quickly, what's on the calendar for the Gridiron and Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes, and what do you have your eye on? I'll put it that way.
Well, I'm interested to see how this roster is going to develop here, because there are quite a few kids. 45 freshmen got a chance to play last year, and that's going to make things really interesting when you're filling out a depth chart. A lot of kids have seen the field, and I think when you looked at the spring ball, there aren't a whole heck of a lot of spots open on that team. The defensive backfield's wide open, but other than that, they're really deep at defensive line. They're really deep at linebacker. They're pretty solid at most positions on the offensive line. They obviously have the stacked quarterback room. They have a lot of receivers. A couple of those kids, though, are going to make the jump, I think, and I'm interested to see which ones they feel over the summer and into August have made that leap to get back into some more playing time.
Nick, great job as always. Did I miss anything you could pass on to our listeners here, probably on the road someplace in Northwest Ohio or Southeast Michigan?
Yeah, no, I think you got it covered, Mike, as usual.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again, Nick. Thanks.
Sounds good, Mike.
Nick Petrovich, again, this is Drive Time. Joining us on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Visit Vito's.com. Again, that was Nick Petrovich, beat writer. Spends a lot of time in Columbus with the Ohio State Buckeyes. Glad to have you on board, everybody. TASS Electronics update, little sports, little weather right around the corner. Traffic, as always, brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. TASS Electronics, four-star window tint, professionally installed in your vehicle for just $149. Here's the update. Back with more after this. Little baseball from Comerica Park right around the corner.
Drive Time show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Coming to you tonight for the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. The show is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Talked a little Ohio State college basketball earlier in the show. Nick Petrovich joined us. Of course, Thad Matta was let go last week, and the Buckeyes, number one, they react quickly, and by all reports, got a pretty good coach in Chris Holtman, his whole staff from Butler coming over. Of course, Butler making the Sweet 16 last year. Summer night, believe me, we talked about summer. The NBA season's over. National Hockey League has crowned a champion with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So it's all baseball all the time. And joining us from Comerica Park in Detroit is Nick Pecoro. He's the beat writer for the Arizona Republic. He covers the Diamondbacks, who are in for a short two-game set against the Tigers. Six consecutive home games for Detroit. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, thank you for taking the time on a busy night. We realize that. We've been doing this for a while. We know you guys got things to do, so appreciate it. First things first, Nick, tell me a little bit about Zach Greinke, 8-3 coming into this one tonight. By the way, he's made 17 starts in his career at Comerica Park. No stranger there. 3.20 ERA, a whip of 120. Paternity leave last week. What will the Tiger fans see out of him tonight, in your opinion?
Well, he hasn't been quite as sharp, I guess, the last few times as he has been generally all season, but he's looked a whole lot better than he did for the majority of last year. Kind of looking like the guy that the Diamondbacks spent that $200 million to sign before last year. Just kind of back to his old ace self. You know, his slider has really been the pitch that's improved the most this year. For me, the changeup is also a weapon for him against left-handed hitters. But, you know, really the bread and butter for Greinke is that fastball command. It's fun to watch. Watch the catcher's glove and watch where he's putting that fastball. It's pretty uncanny that it doesn't seem like he misses by more than a few inches on most pitches.
No, the most, I was going to say overused word in baseball, but you just nailed it. It's a word you use for Zach Greinke, his command. We've seen his act before, even going back to the days when he was with Kansas City. You know, I like going to the Las Vegas bookmakers and see what, you know, their projections are in the beginning of the season. They had this Arizona team, 13 games under 500 with 69 wins. The Diamondbacks come into tonight's game, Nick, with a record of 39-26. Another team that went out and did spend some money, Colorado. The Diamondbacks a game and a half back of the Rockies going into this one tonight. What are they doing right, this Diamondback club? Obviously a lot.
Yeah, kind of everything, at least when they're at home at Chase Field. They're pretty unstoppable there. To be honest, it reminds me of the 2011 Diamondbacks team when Kirk Gibson was the manager, where it just kind of felt like everything fell into place, everything was clicking, all these guys that you didn't necessarily expect to have huge years or be big contributors are coming up big. They've had some injuries. AJ Pollock has missed a lot of time. Shelby Miller's done for the year with an elbow injury. Taiwan Walker's been out for four or five starts here. He comes back tomorrow from a blister issue. But it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, they're a juggernaut at home offensively, especially, as I mentioned. They've been a little bit of a different team on the road, but of late they've kind of found ways to win games. They had a much better road trip their last time out. They're going to try to continue that road success, you know, on this road trip, which is just starting right now.
Hey, you mentioned, Nick Pecoro joins us. Nick Pecoro from the Arizona Republic. He's at Comerica Park in Detroit. Hey, tell me a little bit about the success at home, if you can. Number one, the heat. We know about the roof. We know about Phoenix, one of my favorite stomping grounds back in the day. What stands out at home? Is it the configuration of the ballpark? Is it just the familiarity with their home surroundings? What have you noticed there?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the familiarity. I mean, most teams are, you know, most hitters will tell you that they just feel a little bit more comfortable at home. They see the ball better there. It's not a different environment every few days like it is on the road. And, you know, Chase Field has that huge hitter's eye in center field. Hitters always talk about that. The infield is very fast. The grass is, you know, it's not that thick grass like it is in the Midwest. It's a thinner grass. The ball moves really quickly. The outfield corners kind of suck balls in, so it leads to more doubles and triples. So it's just a really, really good place to hit. I don't know why exactly they haven't been able to carry it over as successfully. You know, on the road, these guys are pretty good hitters. I mean, a lot of them have had success on the road in the past and haven't this year for whatever reason. Again, it's the middle of June. As crazy as it sounds, you know, however many games into the season, it's a relatively small sample size. So, I mean, you kind of imagine it's going to balance out, but who knows? It's baseball. Maybe it won't.
Yeah, 100 games to go, no doubt about that. 219 road average, by the way. Hey, Sparky Anderson, of course, dubbed this guy the next great Detroit Tiger. Torrey Lovello's his name. I want to get to Kurt Gibson before we let you go as well, but obviously a guy that Sparky Anderson, a familiar name to all Detroit Tiger fans, said this guy can't miss. He's going to be a good one. Turned out to be a better manager, it looks like, than he was a player.
He was actually just talking on the field a little bit ago, pregame, about, you know, the influence that Sparky had on him as a manager, talking about how he always tries to use players' first names, not their nicknames. He always tries to have conversations with them about, you know, things that are going on outside of baseball, you know, asking about their family or what's going on in life. Another thing he was talking about was when guys get brought up here, you know, their first time, you know, up in the big leagues from the minors, you know, first time this season, he always tries to throw them in there, something Sparky always used to like to do. Kirk Gibson liked to do that as well. So obviously it was a guy that you know, had an impact on Torrey and helped shape who he is as a manager.
3 days off and 9 days for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Two quick points. We'll let you go, Nick. Number one, Paul Goldschmidt, of course, tonight. Again, we say this all the time. His name is becoming more of a household name, but really for a guy that plays down there, a great star. DH tonight, they got him off his feet. I noticed that. So Torrey Lovello, of course, with this American League swing, has to figure a couple of things out there. Good for Paul, number one, touch on him. And DHing tonight, did he have a reaction to it?
Yeah, that's exactly right, getting him off his feet. I think he understands. They're just trying to work in a little bit of rest here, even though it's not a full day off, obviously, but, you know, kind of manufacture it a little bit. But, yeah, he's been tremendous. He's, you know, he didn't have a bad year last year by any means, but you look at his numbers, they didn't quite match up to the stuff that he had, you know, done the previous 2.5 seasons. This year he's back, and he's maybe swinging the bat as well as he ever has, just driving the ball, hitting for power again, just looking like that feared hitter in the middle of the lineup.
Before I let you go, is Kurt Gibson at the ballpark tonight? I'm guessing, Nick, that he might be doing the color for the television broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit because of his familiarity with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Number one, did you have a chance to talk to him? And tell me about your meeting, if you did see him. I'm sure happy to see a lot of people.
I haven't seen him yet, but I have already crossed paths with a few people who say they've seen him, and he's doing well, you know, just kind of serving as, I think, as an inspiration for a lot of people that are kind of walking through the same thing that he's had to walk through these last couple of years. So that's great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually hoping that when we get done here, I'll go pop into the Tigers booth and say hello to him. I saw him from down on the field. I looked up, and he was locked in on his pregame preparations, like head down, going through the book, going through the numbers. So I'm looking forward to saying hello.
Nick, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it. We'll be reading tomorrow. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll be following the Diamondbacks down the road. I think they're going to be in the middle of this thing. Again, thanks for coming on tonight.
Of course. My pleasure.
Nick Bacaro of the Arizona Republic, beat writer for the Arizona Diamondbacks, talking about their old manager, Kurt Gibson. Torrey Lovello, now the manager of the Arizona Diamond. Wasn't Sparky the greatest? You know, he just said something there, and I've observed a lot of coaches over the years, and I had a general manager, Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey, hated it when the coaches used nicknames for their players, and I think that was a great observation and a great story there by Nick passing on. What Torrey does is the same thing that Sparky Anderson. He's talking to a player. It's by his first name, not, you know, some nickname that the guys have given. Just kind of a sign of respect. You know, Tom, Jim, Mike, whatever it is. How you doing? you know, how's your game? How you feeling about this? I really, really like that. In fact, like I mentioned, I had a GM that tried to sway coaches away from doing that because you don't want to always put a casual spin on things. You want to be concerned. You want to use somebody's first name. So I thought that was a great spin on things as well. By the way, Kurt Gibson and his Parkinson's, I was at a wedding this weekend, and my wife's aunt has Parkinson's, and I got to tell you, anybody that has a family member or anybody else that's gone through this, this is a devastating, devastating thing. And hats off to Kurt for at least being a face of it nationally, and has a foundation going now. And certainly, it's something that it's part of life for the people that have this, but it's certainly folks that have been dealt a bad hand. It is not a good situation, and like all other diseases like that, I hope we can get a handle on it someday. And hats off to Kurt for trying to raise money to find a cure for Parkinson's as well. But again, Arizona in tonight, the Tigers and the Diamondbacks, six-game homestand for the Tigers. The Tigers are two games under going into this one tonight. Buck Farmer, by the way, old Uncle Buck's going to get the start for the Tigers tonight. He's 2-0. He draws a tough hand, though, and Zach Greinke, who, again, coming off the birth of his second child, so you know everything's good there, and he's relaxed. So it'll be interesting to watch in a hot night at Comerica Park in Detroit. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time. As always, it's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Back with more from the Superstore after these words. Again, that was Nick Beccaro on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Visit Vito's.com. Order in any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations. Or again, visit Vito's.com. My favorite, Tony Paco's Pizza, 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. Come in and see Greg Bondi today for a great deal. All right, everybody, back to close it out after this.
Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. You'd like to thank our guest tonight, Nick Petrovich of the Toledo Blade, Ohio State beat writer, talked about the new head coach, the Buckeyes on the hardwood, Chris Holtman, his whole staff from Butler coming over as well. Then we had a report from Comerica Park in Detroit, Nick Beccaro of the Arizona Republic. I'd like to remind everybody, all the guests here on Drive Time appear courtesy of Vito's Pizza. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Visit Vito's.com. A Reed Funeral Home Detroit Tiger report. We talked about some Tigers baseball tonight. Let's take a quick look at the lineup. We mentioned that Buck Farmer will get the start for the Tigers. He's 2-0 against Zach Greinke of Arizona. Again, the Vegas guys had him winning 69 games. They've been a much, much better club than that under Torrey Lovello. You had to love Sparky Anderson. About once every 3 or 4 years, somebody would come down to spring training in Lakeland, and he was just would anoint this guy. You know, going to be the greatest thing he's ever seen since sliced bread. Torrey was in that boat, went on and played for Boston a little bit, managing the minor leagues as well. Tigers tonight, Kinsler, second base leading off. Left-handed lineup again tonight against Zach Greinke. Avila will bat second, catching. Cabrera batting third at first base. Victor Martinez batting fourth. He'll hit left-handed tonight. JD's in right. Justin Upton's in left. Castellanos at third. Alex Presley will play center field tonight and bat left-handed, and Iglesias at short. Tigers tonight, Arizona Diamondbacks. Tigers come in 3 games back, 2 games under 500. As always, that lineup in our Detroit Tiger report in the summer presented by our good friends at Reeb Funeral Home. Let's go back to the studios and get a quick update from Jim Cushlin. What's on the agenda tonight, Jimmy?
Well, obviously with both the NHL and the NBA done, it gets a little light game-wise until we get to Red Sox-Astros over the course of the weekend, but a little later tonight, you want a recap of all the baseball action. Bill Clark in extra innings back on the airwaves tonight at 10, which is now the case and will be the case going forward every Monday through Thursday here on The Ticket, 10 o'clock for a recap of all your baseball. Bill Clark in extra innings.
You know, we got to get him on. Let's set that up for maybe later in the week. Friday, we're going to be at MIS. MIS is going to probably, obviously, we're going to have some NASCAR folks on for that show from MIS on Friday from 5 to 6. But we'll talk, and we got to get Bill on and talk about his show a little bit. I think, listen, this time of the year, as you just mentioned, NHL done, NBA done. We're in that mode now. It's Major League Baseball into the preseason, I think, for National Football League action. Lions, by the way, have their camp coming up here. We'll probably be talking to either Dave Burkett or Mike O'Hara as the week moves on, or maybe next week. I won't be in next week. You'll be hearing Mr. Cushland, by the way, next week, probably with Nick Svitala as well. We got to set that up. But the Lions getting ready to get some work done as well. Again, the Cavaliers and Golden State, everybody watching that one last night. Cavs hung in there for a while. Too much for Golden State. Back at Sylvania Tama Shanner tomorrow. And that is our last face-off the hockey show of the year. So we'll do drive time tomorrow. Matt Markey at 5:30. Probably have somebody on tomorrow to talk a little U.S. Open golf, maybe a Rob Aller, or former winner on the PGA Tour, and Toledo and Pat Lindsay. Probably do that tomorrow. And also, again, kind of just wrap up the hockey season and, you know, take a look at what the Walleye did, where the Red Wings are going with the draft. And again, close out another season at Sylvania Tama Shanner. They do a great job over there. Tom Klein, Mike Mankowski, Nick Perillo. I have to tell you, you go over there right now, it's 90 degrees out, there'll be 100 cars in the parking lot with kids skating, learning how to play the games, all the great programs. Visit TamoHockey.com. Jim, did I miss anything before we close it out?
No, that's pretty much it at this point.
All right, Jim Cushland back at the studios tonight. Again, Tamo tomorrow, MIS on Friday. Thursday, right back here on the Superstore. Hey, you know, I was glad, too, that we got into a little Buckeye football with Nick Petrovich, and also good to have on a live report from Comerica Park in Detroit. Tiger fans still looking at that July the 31st trade deadline, and some of the names that will be bannered about over the next couple of weeks should the Tigers not get things going in the right direction. They better be, I guess, in my eyes. You know, I was hoping from a Tiger fan standpoint, and you try to stay neutral in these things, but there's three teams I root for, the Buckeyes, the Lions, and the Tigers. You were kind of hoping for a 5-1 homestand here for the Tigers in six games, but I saw the pitching matchup last night and Greinke going for Arizona tonight, so I'd be very interested. In fact, I'm going to look here in a minute. You know, home team in Major League Baseball, I would say 85% of the time are the favorites. Greinke against Farmer. Let's just take a look here. Home game for the